During this season of Lent, I am going to use the privilege of this pulpit to look through a variety of lenses at the idea of covenant. You might well wonder what brings that about. We don't typically associate Lent with covenant. Well, first, you'll remember the whole promise at the beginning of the service today in the reading from Genesis that Ronan gave us about there not ever again being a flood. Remember this promise. We have a huge amount of water hanging around us, just waiting to become a flood. So this is why I begin with this particular premise. And then, at one level, exploring the substance and significance of covenant is never far from our shared conversation here on Sunday morning. Our faith is a covenant. Our history is a history of the people of the covenant. And when we celebrate the Eucharist around the altar, we make the claim that in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have found the author of a new covenant between God and all humanity. As I've studied the scriptures appointed for the Sundays of this Lent, I found that I didn't really have to work very hard at all to find that in each of those readings there's a little bit of hard ground to stand on to see the idea of covenant through yet a different angle. But most of all, I think there's a connection between a season of self-examination and a deeper consideration of the idea of covenant. For the simple reason that covenants that we make and successfully keep are agreements that involve setting aside something of ourselves. They involve giving something up. They involve sacrifice, the sort of thing that Lent is supposed to give us practice at doing. We tell every couple that comes to us to get married that covenants are not contracts. They are something more. Contracts are agreements that are subject to a series of agreed conditions. And if the conditions fail to apply, the contract can no longer be enforced. But covenants are not like that. They involve giving up things unconditionally. The idea is that what we get in return for the covenants we make is something of vaster, greater value than we could ever find for ourselves without making the sacrifice needed. To speak for just a minute as an economist and not a theologian, covenants involve an opportunity cost. They impose a choice that cannot be reversed. It's an either-or proposition. And that is why the business of faith is a business of covenant making. Not least because making a covenant is an act of faith. It is an extension of risk in the absence of immediate or tangible reward. But it is a choice to give up something on the promise that what comes to us from the other side of that covenant, that promise is something far more precious and much more valuable than whatever it is we were invited to sacrifice. When we give up things for Lent, what we are doing is practicing what is demanded of us if we're going to be keepers of the covenants we make. Really, what we're doing is practicing the basic steps of the dance of faith. The attitudes of heart and the disciplines of will that go into living a faithful life. The scriptures today relate to us the first of all the covenants in the account of Scripture, the covenant made between God and Noah after the flood. And that is enough to make it something worth paying attention to. It's a simple fact that it's first, but there's something more to it, something that is maybe even more significant about that covenant of the rainbow. In the long, long series of covenants that God will make with the people of Israel, this first covenant, a covenant made before Abraham, before there's even an idea of Israel, stands out for being completely encompassing. It includes all of creation. It's not merely a covenant between God and the people of Israel. And it's not a covenant like the covenant Jesus makes, a covenant with all of humanity. This covenant with Noah is a covenant in which we are all bound up together with all living things by implication. God speaks of this covenant as between me and you and every living creature of flesh. And that is no small accident. Noah knew a thing or two about every living creature of flesh. A great many of them ended up on his passenger manifest. In this covenant, Noah's role from the 40 days of that passage in the ark is extended forward and amplified throughout the whole of the future. He and we are made the protector, the stewards, the caretakers of all of the rest of creation. In this covenant, we're meant to understand that we are deeply woven into the whole created order. We are not somehow separate from it, and it's by no means separate from us. Just as the created order presents dangers to us that we seek to protect ourselves against and mitigate, we can present a danger to the created order, most of all by imagining that we can act with impunity, that our actions as part of creation have no consequences for the rest of creation. Now, whatever else you might make of our winter of discontent, it is hard not to see the evidence of our own lives these past few decades and not be drawn to conclude that fervent, industrious, disruptive work of all humanity has not somehow wrought changes in the fragile balance of the created order that we're only beginning to understand and likely can never completely repair. I started by saying that keeping covenants requires giving up something. This covenant of life, this covenant that we are in with the rest of creation that we've been made part of, whether we know it or like it or not, demands something of us. What that specifically might be will differ for each one of us. There's no balance sheet that will quickly and simply tell us when we have to give up our fair share. Remember, covenants are acts of faith, not exercises in calculating cost and benefit. One example of giving up something in keeping this covenant with creation was the decision of our whole parish to give up part of the treasure accumulated by the generations that came before us here in order to convert part of the heating plant of this place into something that would be much more efficient and emit far fewer emissions. Making that choice was an act of keeping our covenant with life. It was one way in which we've held up our part of the promise once made to Noah. But it is by no means the only sort of choice we will have to make. Each of us, separately and all together, live every day as creatures sharing the wonder of this creation and called to take up our part in it more fully. But doing that means we need to take a new view of ourselves. In a very basic way, we need to give up our idea of ourselves as the center and purpose of creation in order to gain perspective on how much more we might have for ourselves and for the generations that will follow us if we willingly accept the limits by which only we can counter the harm humans have done to God's handiwork. Artisan of the universe, open the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, we may honor thee with our substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.